This is the July 20 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson, both of AgMarket.net, along with our special guest, Paul Cooley. He, too, is with AgMarket.net. And a bit later in the program, we have a couple special guests to introduce as we're coming to you today from Riggs Brewery here in Urbana. Thanks for all the folks that came out to be with us here and watch and listen to what's happening during Commodity Week. And one other thing, you can always find us online at willag.org, willag.org, or look Commodity Week up as a podcast in your favorite podcast application. I think I'd like to start with you, Paul Cooley, to begin with. Don't want to know about the markets from you. Tell me what you've been doing over the last couple of years. We've talked to you in the last year or so, but really, you've been taking it a bit more easy these days. How is life on the other side?
Well, I've been extremely busy doing three things: working with farm drainage, drainage districts, grain storage, and keeping the farms afloat.
Keeping the farms afloat, that's an important thing to do. Let's begin talking about what's happening in the marketplace. Kurt Kimmel, there were a couple of things that I think we need to discuss. On my list this week, of course, is what's been happening with the Ukraine-Russia war, particularly the deal that is no longer a deal, that grain corridor not open, and then potentially the weather forecast going forward, which looks a little hot and a little dry, and maybe we should talk about conditions of the crop. What else is on your mind?
No, you pretty well hit it. It was corn and soybeans and wheat gone wild this week with all that type of news. Up front and center, of course, was the weather forecast. We're seeing the 6 to 10 day, the short-term weather forecast, extremely warm and dry. But the 30 to 90 day forecast came out, and it shows some normal conditions as we move more into the mid part of August and through here. But Ukraine, man, all heck broke loose when that news hit. And when you start hitting export facilities and you start seeing the Russian generals or people in charge talk about shutting down the flow out of there, it's kind of concerned. But the thing you got to keep in back of your mind this past week, we did hear that China is actually booking Ukrainian grain. So if China's booking some Ukrainian grain, hopefully this will be a short term or not a long term effect, because basically they're not in the leather fall harvest yet. So hopefully we can see that grain flow out of there in an orderly fashion.
I believe, Wayne Nelson, that I did see that about 85% of the ships that have been transiting into Ukraine through the corridor are those who might be considered friends of Russia as opposed to those who are not allies of Russia. How long do you think they'll keep it closed down?
That's the big question, Todd. And I think right now we heard that there was mining going on in the ports, that the Russians were mining them again. They knew where the mines that were left there were, and they could safely take them on in and whatever. For right now, the announcement was, of course, that anybody that is bringing grain in or out or bringing something in or out, they think they're bringing them war supplies, and they will attack those ships. So nobody and no insurance companies are going to cover boats going in and out of Ukrainian ports at this point in time. So basically, that's going to have to be a rail, truck, or going out and down the Danube instead of out the sea there. So, you know, it really throws a monkey wrench in the whole mess over there. Those poor guys are having a hard enough time as it is, you know, surviving, let alone this and what they're doing to them. So, you know, it does really mess things up. We had some talk today, though, that already the European countries that they were transporting through wants to not let them drop any of it off. You can run the rail car through my country, but you can't sell grain here because that hurts our farmers and what's going on there. But that way, and also then South Africa and or all of Africa is saying, hey, we need this grain. We need this grain. This is for humanitarian aid to get food to the world. So Russia's going to lose a few bonus points, I think, here in the rest of the world, shutting all this down as far as humanitarian aid.
Did we learn anything when this war began? And I don't know who wants to take this. related to how high, how quick the commodity markets run based off of what Russia is doing. For instance, the markets really moved to begin with, and they settled back, despite the fact that we still had issues, we still had a war going on. How long do we think that this, well, it's not really about how long, how much lift does this really put into the marketplace?
I needed to go back to, you know, wheat was the one that really exploded to the upside here when this all broke loose. But, you know, it's the fear. And when you have that fear, there's no common sense. You get covered, and you get covered at whatever the cost is, because wheat was basically limit up, limit up, limit up. But over time, as this fear subsides, you start to have some calmer, cool heads decide after that. But what's to say, though, that Russia's not doing this to prop up the wheat prices? I mean, they're big wheat sellers. They got it's helping their wheat income quite a bit, or their grain income quite a bit, and through here. So we'll have to monitor this as we move forward.
It is time just about right for wheat harvest to begin there in Ukraine, in Russia, and for exports to come out of that nation.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, that they did get quite a bit of the grain moved out of there. Here in the next 2 months, they feel we can still move quite a bit on rail and through the Danube and keep up to it. But the key would be later on this winter here.
I want to lean on you just a little bit, Paul Cooley, for some historical context related to just political issues that happen around the planet, especially during eras where we might have weather conditions that are not suitable in the United States, and what those two mixes really mean. Can you think about for the past what you've learned or gleaned from that, and what that means to you as you view today's pricing situations?
Well, of course, I got started in the great grain robbery, and then when we really did see the Russians come in and steal the corn crop and bean crop and wheat crop from the United States and the world. So the bottom line is that we did see other weather factors in the world, like massive buying from and starting to see buying from the Chinese, particularly in the soybean market. I think the big thing is, and my take is, I think because of the wheat price strength, I think it says that the market is extremely short, and we're expecting some cheaper prices, flat price. And this is a new game changer as far as getting the crop balanced and paying a higher price, at least to the American farmer.
How do producers wait for that and take advantage of it?
Well, providing we get some little weather scare in here, I think a farmer does need to be very patient, but very careful, being a scale-up seller of the corn and soybeans on this scale-up, because we do know there is some good supplies of South American soybeans.
Tell me a little bit about the charts and what you're reading into them at this point.
Oh, heck, it's straight up or straight down. I mean, there's nothing in the middle here, but if you look at the December corn futures contract, had a nice little base down there, scared the heck out of everybody down there at 480, but we were able to build a base, pop up and through here. December corn futures, 555, that's halfway back up to the June high. Most technicians would tell you if we can stay above this 540 area, we got a shot at doing that 62% retracement in this 570 area. And there's some longer term moving averages coming in through there. So that's kind of the chart picture on that. Soybean wise, it seems like, okay, we're optimistic above $14 in the Novembers. It needs to stay above $13.90, but the contract high is right around $14.48, $14.50. So if this weather forecast stays warm and dry going into August, August makes breaks the beans, then maybe we can take a challenge towards that 14 and a half. But we're getting a little overbought here. Maybe correct a little bit. Next week I'll tell a story whether we're going to march higher or have a more of a correction back down.
You think food stability in the Midwest or Mideast has an issue to be involved here?
That's the other part of it, is food security. All of a sudden, when the prices are high, they're not wanting to be buyers. But you're going to start hearing food security beat the drums here again and through. because basically Asia, China, I'm not surprised China's still buying stuff under the radar. They're wanting to restock. We're not hearing about Chinese corn weather. They had a real wet wheat area and so forth. But yes, we're going to start hearing more food security, and I don't think they want to get caught without.
Let's check in and see what the agricultural weather has been like in each of your areas. We're not very far apart, frankly, most of us here, but there might be some differences. Wayne Nelson, how does the crop look in your part of the world near Crawfordsville, Indiana?
I'll tell you what, Todd, I am amazed after we got a few of those rains, how it came back, what it looks like. With a windshield driving tour, I'd have to put our crop as excellent. You know, all the guys are saying that the way that it was stunted early, everything like that, that there was still some damage done. I don't know. I've seen a lot of improvement in the genetics of this corn crop and the bean crop. Beans don't have to be tall to yield well. They just have to be potted, or the flowers need to be close together. But if we get a bad August, a very dry August, no rain, those blooms fall off and we can have not as many pods, and they might be farther apart in a short bean. That's not good. But all in all, I think we had a pretty good time for pollination over there. I think we've got a chance if we keep this hot, hot weather to the west of us, which we've got a very good chance over in Indiana of doing. But I'd hate to be on the western side of Illinois instead of the eastern side of Indiana.
Paul Cooley, somewhere between Covington, Indiana, and Oakland, Illinois. I'm sure you travel that fairly often and stop by the your farms there. What are conditions like today?
I think the super early planted corn showed some stress, and it was a little shorter in height. So anytime we see shorter corn, that probably means a little bit of a yield drag. But all in all, it looks fairly good, providing we get some good August rains. I think we are looking at a fairly good crop in east central Illinois.
Kurt Kimmel in the Bloomington Normal area, what do you see?
Yeah, the early stuff is really variable. The later stuff, it really perked up with that rain. Our beans, later beans, was 8-9 inches tall. Maybe we're getting close to knee high, but the earlier beans are doing quite well. We had two Hill the Groms come through our county here about 2 weeks ago. And surprisingly, we're looking at 14, 16 rounds. He kind of at that time thought, you know, typically we're 220, 230. He thought maybe 180, but it depends on the moisture situation and kernel fill. So there's potential. It just depends this coming week here on how hot it is.
And we do have a couple of extra special guests with us from Edgar County. John Bringle joins us from Metcalf, and Randy Grafton is here from Hume. John, thank you and Randy for coming up. What's happening on your farm? And I'm really interested to know what questions you have for these guys, or maybe for the agronomist at the University of Illinois as well.
Well, I think here my crop is probably got a potential to be as good as it was last year. We are not there yet, but I think we're close. But we were stressed early, bad. But it's come back. The rain has helped us out. I personally think USDA is a little bit high, because I know there's areas in the Midwest that aren't as good as we are. So that's my opinion. I think our crop's good. I'm not going to say it's excellent. We need rain. And I'd be curious to know, these guys travel around more than I do, obviously. There, I know there's pockets in Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, that aren't as good. So I'd be interested to know about that, what they think of those areas.
And Randy, there in Hume, how are your crops?
I'd pretty well agree with John. I think, you know, our corn went through a stress period there early, but we got that rain just in time. And if we continue to get rain, I think we got some excellent potential out there. Beans, same story, a little earlier, you know, a little harder to tell on them right now. But my question is, you know, a lot of these analysts, you know, everybody's in that 40, 50% sold. What should we do with that other half that we're going to raise? Do we need to buy some puts, or what do we need to do to protect it?
We'll get to that in just a moment. I do want to address some of the other areas. I know I've driven in Wisconsin. It's been a while. That crop did not get rain. It looked really rough. When we looked tough here, it looked bad. And I can't imagine it looks all that great at the moment. They in Missouri were the toughest spots that I think I can come up with. Maybe some others of you have other places. I do have a question. Just looking around at the five of you, is anybody interested in the second ear that you see on every other plant out there? That seems like something most people have looked at. I've pulled a few of those. They pollinated. I did ask Emerson Nafziger and Giovanni Prezafontes on Thursday morning what that meant. And both of them said, well, it meant that even though your crop was stressed, it managed, if it did put on second ears, and it did, you say, it was not as stressed as you think it was. And it was trying to use as many of the nutrients as it possibly could, because it was in really good condition as really poor condition. Emerson also says that short corn doesn't mean very much. It's just a matter of vegetative state. However, that those probably will not come to fruition. If they do, it would probably only be it won't be additive, but it will be only the full potential. Emerson was thinking 600 kernels per ear, and that would be kind of a really, really good max crop at this point. So other places that we need to think about as it relates to what the crop looks like, we haven't talked about Nebraska. Minnesota's got issues. The Dakotas, again, have issues.
Yeah, Dakotas is just kind of a mixed bag. We got a couple of brokers up in that area. One guy says, man, it's really good. The other guy says, we got some isolated problems. Minnesota, we got a guy there, and he says it's phenomenal. He thinks it's going to be best. Not the best, but better conditions than a year ago. It's just highly variable. And what this tells me is it's going to take quite some time to get the numbers, and we'll be trading this yield up and down here until clear to the January report.
All right, Wayne. So let's get to the question at hand. What do farmers that have got 40 to 60% of a corn crop sold do today with the rest of that crop?
Well, at this point in time, I'm not going to probably push past about 60% priced. One of the things that we done on Thursday was we bought a 550 March put. We sold a $6 call and a 480 put. Also, we did that. We collected 2 cents on it. That's how we're going to sort of sit back and say, if $6, if it goes on up, we're okay to have it sold there. We put a bottom at 550, and we're going to, you know, just hang on to that on about 20% of our crop.
Well, I think that from looking from past years, that, you know, our friends from Edgar County talked about the crop size last year, like this one. I think last year's marketing tells us be a good seller of major rallies from here on out.
Yeah. Everybody's a little bit different, but I think you got to stay flexible. We like being 50, 60% priced now, whether that's cash or a straight hedge. It depends on your comfort zone. But I believe you need to have, like Wayne hinted on there, the floor protection and leave your upside open in through here, because we still have a chunk of the growing season to go. So there's all kinds of strategies out there. But I think you got to also keep in mind that later on this fall and through here, are you going to store, are you going to sell? You got to start thinking about that ahead of time. The commercial side guys that we've been listening to are a little worried about the soybean side of it. They feel here, if we can get some moisture on these beans and with these higher prices in South America and so forth, they're fearful that this bean could be quite sloppy this fall. Their opinion is the farmer's going to sell the beans and store the corn.
Well, I do have a question about your bean crop, John and Randy. My travels over the last week tell me that this is the week that the beans finally decided to show themselves a little bit, that this crop is really starting to come on and to fill out. Is that the case in your area?
Yeah, it really is. If we can get some rain from here on out, I think the beans, they're coming along. I was way concerned 3 weeks ago, I'll be honest, as everybody was. But if we get some steady showers, we're going to have some good soybeans. I no doubt about it. But we've been fungiciding some of our beans too, and so obviously we think there's potential there.
Yeah, typically you'll start to see, and I haven't seen too many planes in the air just yet, but I think the next week that the planes will start to really fly.
They were flying in Niger County like crazy. Yeah. They're all over the place.
Well, I have traveled enough, and I've seen a couple, but they're just, I think the fleets are, they were stuck down south for a while too, I think, and so they're probably just about ready to go. I know. In Logan County, I think they're about ready to roll as well. Okay, to wrap this up, let's get a final word from each of you as it's related to the marketplace. I think we'll start with you, Kirk Kimmel.
Yeah, with this rain around, to me, it feels like guys are a little bit more comfortable. They're going to have some type of bushels to market with. So you got to kind of stay on top. And as Paul hinted, you got to kind of sell some rallies in here and we're at some levels that warrants doing that. The other thing, too, is demand. These demand bears, I think they're a little ahead of themselves because basically they're looking at future demand. We did see some new crop sales come on the books here on the weekly export sales report. But what I'm getting to, this new crop marketing year starts September 1, goes clear through 24 into August. We got a long ways to go on demand.
Yeah, Kurt's right. It's a long time to get to the end of this and whatever along the way. I think the people that need to look more at deciding some of these things is the guys that don't have a lot of storage or if they don't have something. I'm going to also say one of the things I'm going to tell you is I think it's going to be the basis is going to be good, bad. And I mean, it's going to be as we get up and until they get new crop coming in like that, the ethanol plants, the soybean plants and like that are going to be paying up some tremendously good basis levels, you know, and there's going to be a point where they bought what they need to get to harvest. And I think then for the first couple, 3-4 weeks, I think that we're going to see the basis fall apart pretty hard because we have not seen good export sales. We don't have a book on to keep the barges busy going down the Mississippi. We don't have a book on for going out the North Pacific Northwest. You know, like I say, and the ethanol plants are going to know that they don't need to pay a dollar over at that point in time.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He also is with AgMarket.net, as is Paul Cooley. Paul, thank you for coming today. It's really special to have you here. Any final word from you?
Well, I think it's an interesting topic to talk about the commodity side, but in the input side, I don't think the fertilizer is going to explode like it did last year.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to it online anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week. They included Kirk Kimmel of AgMarket.net, Paul Cooley with AgMarket.net, Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net, and a couple special guests, John Bringle from Metcalf, Illinois, and Randy Grafton of Hume, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.